Radio 1 News Beats. I'm Phil Mercer.
Radio 1. More music.
It's just 100 miles from Birmingham to Jackson. So if you get broken down, you know you won't be left on across the room to someone. So if you need a friend, you just have to be one. Send a message on the telephone, all around the world, on the radio. Send a message.
This is a song called I forgot what it is. Just Viva Saturn, anyway. It's on the new album.
Send a message, I
Send a message,
cool.
That's it. Yeah, there's a couple of things
don't
coming.
Don't even know that yet, I
No,
think.
Shut up, listen. Paul has suggested, of Lancaster, has suggested curing your hangover by tightening your pants and not stopping until you go blue.
Good idea.
It's just 100 miles from Tokyo to China.
Top news story there, of course, Fergie and her missing jewellery. And we've actually got in the very studio now, second guest, Jane Dunn Butler, who was the actual Duchess of York's lady in waiting, who was there. It was quite a story, you know, they lose a bit careless of you to lose that jewellery, wasn't it?
No, the necklace, the jewellery was never missing at all.
I think you would say that, wouldn't you?
No, you've got your facts completely wrong. What happened was that Her Royal Highness the Duchess boarded the plane in New York wearing the necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to pick her up in London, the necklace was there on the seat.
Yeah.
But Her Royal Highness the Duchess wasn't.
The Duchess had gone.
I can think is that she had somehow slipped out of the necklace at some point across the Atlantic. So, as you know, she has lost a great deal of weight.
Yeah.
And, of course, at first, what I did straight away was I did look for her on the plane. I thought she might have slipped down the side of the seat or slipped out of the necklace in one of the conveniences. Mm.
Yeah.
But there was absolutely no sign of her at all.
Fergie has disappeared. I think she must have been stolen.
I think Her Royal Highness the Duchess
has been stolen.
Sarah Ferguson, Her Royal Highness the Duchess has been stolen.
Why would someone steal her?
Well, I mean, she's worth £250,000.
What, Fergie?
Yeah, she's a very, very popular.
Well, no, we're talking about Duchess of York. In your head. She's not popular.
Yes, she is.
You can get £250,000 for her.
Yes, you could.
How?
Well, I imagine what would happen. They'd have sold her on the market. They'd probably broken her down into various parts. Of course, she's very distinctive. They'd had to respray her and sold her off in separate parts. So, for example, I imagine her arse has gone out of the public domain. It's now being collected by private collectors in the hands of a private collector.
Her arse is in the hands of a private collector.
No change there, then.
Her back, of course, very distinctive, very valuable.
Yeah.
Someone else will pick that up. Her breasts, of course, they're past her prime, but I imagine we'll see those turning up in perhaps a car boot sale or a jumbo for, say, 75p each.
Mm. Not that
pound,
much, surely.
Perhaps pound the pair, perhaps.
Did you see the photos?
Which photos?
The photos of her by that pool bear. You can get 75p for that.
I don't think we want to talk about,
I'm sorry.
About that. She is a very, very popular lady.
Well,
we have called in the serious fraud squad, of course.
Very, very...
Well, if anyone has seen Princess Fergie, do let us know.
Or, in fact, any parts of her.
Yes, perhaps black, yellow,
if you're offered a bit
brow.
Of hair, yeah, whatever, then please let us know here at Lee and Herring. During this year, we've had a lot of celebrities being against things, against the devastation of the rainforest, French nuclear testing. But now, Mike Watt.
Right.
Listen, and his celebrity guests, celebrity friends, are against the 70s. They're against the 70s.
Yeah, look out for Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam on lead vocals here.
Yeah, Mike's got some good celebrity friends. I noticed the boy from the McCain's Oven Chip adverts on backing vocals, isn't
he? No, he isn't.
And Rod Hull, you're on the tambourine on this, aren't you?
Yes, I am!
Yeah, I thought so.
It's not Rod Hull.
I asked him if he knew what time he had. He said he wasn't sure, maybe a quarter past. Defend themselves against the 70s. I peered in his eyes as we stood in line just to have a look.
are you against, Pete?
A bed.
Sam, what are you against?
A wall.
What are you against, Kev?
I'm against the mass extermination of the unemployed by the British government.
It doesn't happen.
Oh, good.
Snow advice.
Hello again. Sally's next snow tip is for old people. Remember, snow can be very slippery. Why not try skidding up and down on it on your path? It's fun. Also, a snowman isn't, as you might expect, a man who delivers snow to your door, but is in fact a representation of the human form commonly made out of snow by children. Although snow can be exciting, having it delivered would tend to lessen the magical surprise, in my opinion. And remember, if you think you're a fan of snow, it takes one to snow one.
Very good, then. Well done, Sal. Tell me, where? I'm just wondering, where in the world does the most snow fall?
It tends to be on the ground, mainly.
Right, good. Last week we asked you to vote on whether Simon Quinlank should live or die. Well, now it's time to find out what you thought. Here he comes.
Hello.
Answer me!
Good. It is I, Simon Quinlank, with my regular hobby spot that by now has become familiar to anyone who has heard it several times. Yes, I am the Grandmaster of Hobby, and you are my metaphorical hobby pawns. This week, Hobby is a very exciting one, combining the two most pleasurable things on the planet Earth, hobbies and death. What you will need for this hobby: access to having your hobby opinions broadcast on one or more of the country's media, a propensity for danger, a flask of weak lemon drink, and a gun with real bullets. I like it. This hobby is a good hobby if you are keen to prove conclusively that your hobby monarchy is indisputable, and that you are prepared to risk your very life to prove that. It is especially good if the idea of your own death thrills and excites you, and if you believe that death will only make you stronger than before, like those skeletons in Jason and the Argonauts. This week's hobby is called the Hobby Russian Roulette Hobby. What you must do. First, get a job on the radio or television telling the public about hobbies. You must have done exactly 16 radio hobbies and 4 TV hobbies before you can attempt Hobby Russian Roulette. It doesn't matter if the TV hobbies are just copied off the radio. That is best, in fact, as it annoys people who wrongly think that I was good at the radio but then sold out by going on TV. When you have done the requisite number of hobbies, instruct the foolish hosts of your show to announce a vote as to whether you should live or die. Sit at home and listen to the announcement.
We're a bit fed up of Simon Quinlank.
Yeah, I mean, antique smashing, that's just egg smashing, changed a bit.
So what we want to do is, you're the jury, want you to decide whether Simon Quinlank should live or die. Yeah. Write in and let us know what you think.
We'll act on your advice.
Yeah, it should be good.
Listen to them announcing it, the idiots. They can barely speak. Then, simply wait for the votes confirming the love you have for the public to roll in. Do not drink your weak lemon drink while you are waiting. However tempting it looks, you must save it until later. When the letters arrive, open them and read what they say. Now, let's see. David Patrick of Reading says, yes, kill Simon Quinlank, kill him, I say, and replace him with respected playwright Patrick Barber. Oh, dear. I like your writing style, David, but your opinions are wrong. Shall I be killed? I wonder. Peter Tunstall of Grantham says, Simon Quinlank should die, as he is just a great big baby and no more the king of hobbies than you or I. Vicky from Bristol says, Simon Quinlank should die a nasty death by drowning in a pool of wee and weak lemon drink. He is useless. Oh, dear. Well, it doesn't look good. It seems I must die. My last request is to drink my weak lemon drink. Drink it in remembrance of me when I am gone, my friends. Ah, the prospect of death makes its weakness all the more tangible. I had better raise the gun to my hobby face and pull the trigger. Wait, I missed, which is fortunate as the second post has arrived. Let's see what they say. James Hobbs and Peter James of Oxford say, Simon Quinlank is an inspiration to us, and when he is 100 years old, inspired by his antique-smashing hobby, we will take great pleasure in beating his wizened frame to a pulp with a hammer. Ha! Good! Darren Phillips of Lowestoft Prison, who, despite living in such a terrible place, Lowestoft, says the Hobbymeister, like it, should live because he is good. You can't argue with that. Joe and Kate of London donned masks of my faces and had their photos taken in a photo booth in honour of my survival. All in all, only 12 stupid people wish to see me dead, whereas 89 said I should live. And remember, people who voted against me, I know where you live. Anyway, I am saved! Yes, I must live. Drink your weak, clever drink, my friends. Prepare for my hobby return next week. I am the lord of all hobbies. I have a mandate to hobby forever. And you must do hobbies in my honour.
Yeah, it's all very well for Simon Quinlan to be delighted by his survival, isn't it, Stu? He doesn't have to write the rubbish, does he?
No, that's true. Stuart Leach of Glasgow actually wrote in to say that his hobby is having his name read out on the radio in a loud and or silly voice. Perhaps Rod Hull could do that for him.
Yes, I will! Listen! Stuart Leach.
Oh, that is crazy. Stuart Leach! No, that's enough of that.
Yes, enough of that. Rod Hull failed to deliver there, didn't
we? We got a phone call on. And these, Daniel, what's your hangover cure, Dan?
Well, it actually is. It's a pint of popular late night TV entertainer Gaz Top's saliva.
That is bad. It'll be hard to gather, I think.
It'll be hard to harvest that, that drink.
Certainly would.
Thank you, Daniel. That's a good one.
With Jonathan Killick has an idea. Hello, Jonathan.
Yeah, you get three people off the street that are suffering from a hangover, stick them in the car, get three different flavours of pot noodles, fill them up with boiling water and close the windows. Suck in the fumes.
That sounds like it might work. Seems terrible to have to go through something disgusting as having a pot noodle.
Thanks
near
for
you.
Calling in. Well, actually, talking of pot noodles, Peter's coming up in a minute.
Mark Ratcliffe!
Tonight at 10, why not visit our kiddies' Christmas Fun Cave, where every child will hear a top tune, thrill to Mark Kermode's cult film corner, and be roughly escorted from the premises by a lardy ass getting an ill-fitting goblin outfit.
I am Mark.
Hello, children everywhere. This way to the grotto. If your mum will let you stay up, if not, get to bed! 10 o'clock tonight.
Mark Ratcliffe, 97 to 99 FM, Radio 1.
Sally's snow advice.
Yes, hark ye. A block of frozen snow can get trapped in a cat's throat, killing it, and then melting, leaving the police with no idea how the cat died. Snow what I mean, Harry?
Yeah, I think I do know what you mean, yeah. Next is coming up with Peter, who's... You're a bit ill today, aren't you, Pete?
Yeah, don't very well.
And, of course, Peter is sponsored by Mass and News of Bedford Hill and Balham, your first stop.
Yeah. Wait, what is all
for
this?
For newspapers, crisps, South London's most reasonable range of canned drink. I'm not... Do I have to
is
do this?
A bit about Clarets?
Plus, all formats of Clarets now available. The green chewing gum ones. Well, you know, all of them are square ones that like tunes. And Tic Tac ones, yeah. What did you get for me reading all this out, Pete? What did you get?
Well, the madman in the shop caught me reading a magazine about predators.
Yeah.
And I was, like, looking at it, and I was... And he said that technically I was shoplifting with my eyes.
What, shoplifting the information?
Yeah. So he said, unless we mention the shop every week, he'll tell the police and they'll put rats in my letterbox. So...
That's how they work.
You've got to be careful there.
Yeah.
You can't have made much out of those pot noodle adverts that you didn't do, either.
No, I didn't, yeah.
Good, right, OK. Who's with you this week? You
got stinking old man from Balham Tube Station again, who drinks medicine and laughs his head off.
I smell of exits.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, he's a nice man.
It's very popular.
He's been standing out in the cold a lot, his medicine's gone all hard and everything.
Oh.
Anyway, I'd like to start off first with the latest news on my Peter appeal, which is the appeal to stop me starving to death since the DSSS cut off my benefit. Mm. So far, I've received 23 pence.
Oh, yeah, that's very good.
Which is really nice, yeah. 10p of this will go on a Cadbury's Wildlife Bar. 5 pence on sharing a box of Neon Nerds with the medicine drinking man.
That's not
he likes that.
Look out, it's the wig zombies.
And the other 8 pence I'll put towards the cost of breeding a small herd of mice that I'll eat.
That's good. Can I have a look at the money?
Sorry, no, it's in a bag over there.
Right, okay.
Anyway, next, it's cold at the moment, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
It is.
So I've done a couple of ideas on how to stay warm. Number one, get the big pile of newspapers that's been next to your bed piling up over the last 3 years and set fire to all of them except for the copy of the Daily Star from last August that has the headline Heatwave on the front, which you sit reading in your pants by the fire. Number two, take all your clothes off and stand by the window doing a dance and pointing at your winky with a small toy gun. If someone comes past, you'll be so embarrassed you'll get a hot flush. And number three, get some terrible flu, because having a temperature of 102 degrees and constantly coughing boiling phlegm all over yourself actually saves money on heating bills.
Yeah, that's good.
Last bit is just a little bit of the Balham Gas gossip column.
Yeah.
Spy tells me that the old lady with a face like Jules Holland from Rossiter Road was seen on Tuesday in the card shop on Bedford Hill with all the cards going blue in the window, trying to knock over a card display. And finally, news reaches me of a falling out between the German man who wears big flares and once started meowing at me in the chip shop and his friend, the fat man who goes in Today's Price mini market in a really tight jacket covered in flares.
I like them.
That man and the fat man, and apparently the two were seen fighting by the trolleys outside Safeways last night as the sun went down.
Thanks very much, Pete. This is a camper van Beethoven, who of course evolved into Cracker, and this is about 10 years ago. It's called Take the Skinheads Bowling.
Of course it did evolve into Cracker, yeah.
Oh, we know that.
All right, Pete, you're feeling better now?
No.
You're not?
No.
You've been taking a wry look at the newspapers this week for us, Pete?
Yeah, I'll be back with that in a moment.
Have you?
Yes.
You've got time to think about it.
Every day I get up and pray to John, and he increases the number of clocks by exactly one. Everybody's coming home for lunch these days. Last night there were skinheads on my lawn. Take the skinheads. Say that bowling alley's got big lanes.
Got big lanes. Got big lanes.
Some people say that bowling alleys all look the same.
Look the same. Look the same.
There's not a line that goes here that rhymes with anything.
Anything. Anything.
Had a dream last night, but I forget what it was.
What it was. What it was.
Take the skinheads bowling. Take them bowling. A dream last night about you, my friend. Had a dream I wanted to sleep next to plastic. Had a dream I wanted to lick your knees. Had a dream it was about nothing. Take the skinheads bowling. Take them bowling.
That's one way to stop them fighting people, isn't it, and being nasty. Good idea there. What, have you got a wry piece of look at the news?
Yeah, very
week?
Wry this week. The Sun says again,
yeah.
And it's a bit at the bottom. It says, what a shock for those two nuns. They ended up pregnant after a bogus Italian priest convinced them he was acting with the blessing of the Pope.
Yeah.
Is that what they mean by a Sermon on the Mount?
Mm.
I thought that was that thing in the Bible.
That is right.
Very right, Pete. Yeah. Well done. You should be on the panel, mate. Armistice.
On a religious note, last week we asked you to send in advent calendars, and we were overwhelmed by the response.
Oh,
so when we actually undid them in the office, Rich was almost moved to tears by how beautiful they were.
The beautiful.
Thanks quickly to Emma Webb, Richard and Christopher Beckett, Annie and Lizzie, Robert Elliott, Charlotte Coombs, Kirsty, who sent in a rotten banana advent calendar, which stank the place out. Stephen Rones and Andrew Peary, Stuart Ross, and Mike and Linda, who sent us a Rolf Harris advent calendar, which interestingly enough had only 12 days on it.
I like the fact it's 12, but Eleanor came second, doesn't win anything, but it was very nice. She has the girl from Hollyoaks and another girl from Hollyoaks looking from an angle she looks quite attractive from. Ian Hunter also had her, the girl from Hollyoaks, from an angle she looked very attractive. He'd drawn her, and it was the right angle. But who's the winner, Stu?
The person we're going to send all our stuff to is Stephen Levin, who sent in an advent calendar which featured, behind the pictures, E17 changing a light bulb, the publicity still from the film Short Circuit, and Paul McCartney. McCartney from His Desire reference that will make no sense to anyone but the most regular of listeners. Becca Smith also sent us in this week. She said kindly sent us in lots of photos that hadn't worked. A blurred photo of the ground, a ceiling and an empty road. We are looking for stuff at the moment. If you've got any rubbish photos, do send them in to our address.
Room 1006, Broadcasting House, London. But hold on, Stu, I think Fred is coming through on the line. He's Fred. Alive!
Fred Talbot, can you hear me there? Have you arrived? Have you arrived in London, or have you failed as I predicted then?
You can scoff all you like. I haven't arrived in London. My map was blown off course by a mysterious storm, and I was knocked unconscious. Yeah. And when I woke, I was in a beautiful undersea palace, surrounded by sea nymphs and mermen. That's right, Stu. I, Fred Talbot, have discovered the lost continent of Atlantis.
Oh, Lord Fred Talbot. Tell us what the weather will be like.
Hold on, Aqua, I'm on the phone. And what is more, the Atlantean people have no knowledge of weather forecasting, and so my ability to approximate very generally what the weather might be like, coupled with me being able to leap a very small distance, has led to me being crowned the Lord King of Atlantis. It's great.
Oh, Lord Fred Talbo, it is I, Waterall, and my husband, Wavo.
Hello.
What will the weather be like today in Atlantis?
Well, as Atlantis is, as you know, Waterall, entirely underwater, the weather today will be very wet, as usual.
Oh, thank you, Lord Fred Talbot. We better not bother with that picnic we were planning.
And being the Lord King of Atlantis is even better than being on this morning, Stuart. It is literally a utopia.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone lives in peace and harmony, Jews and Arabs are friends, and dance together to a bizarre Jewish-Arabic musical hybrid. And Rory Bremner's satire is seen for what it really is, a formulaic placing of personalities into TV-inspired situations to create sketches which would not even be good enough to get onto Radio 4's Weekending. A shoplifting rarely occurs, and if a TV presenter does steal something, he at least has the good grace to admit it and apologise to the shopkeeper. It's wonderful!
But Fred, surely Atlantis is completely underwater.
Well, that is one minor drawback, just due to be cynical, Stuart.
Well, have the inhabitants developed gills and webbed feet, Fred, like Patrick Duffy, the man from Atlantis?
No, Stuart, they hold their breath. Fred Talbo, I am CO, your Prime Minister, and I am here with two palace guards, Seaweed O and Wave O.
We've had Wave O.
Have we? Oh, not Wave O. Salty Water O.
That's a rubbish one.
Shut up! Anyway, Fred Talbot, you said the weather would be wet today. But look, the shifting of the tectonic plates has caused Atlantis to now rise out of the water. And it is sunny. Oh, sorry, anyone can make a mistake. Oh, not in Atlantis, Fred Talbo. As in all seemingly perfect societies, there is a hidden dark downside to Atlantis, and it is the strictest law here that false weather forecasting be punishable by death. Right, well, I'd better sign off and prepare to be hanged by the neck until I be dead.
Any last forecasts for us in London, Fred?
Well, I think the cold spell will continue.
Oh, it's a shame. Thanks for everything.
Bye.
See you, Fred. Bye. That's Fred Talbot there. Nice to see him. And remember, do keep stuff coming in room 1006, Broadcasting House. Also, send in your three favourite things on Litfley and Herring, your three worst things, a little poll, because we enjoyed the Simon Quinlan thing. And we'll act on those, because it's quite interesting. On the Hangover, Bruce Davis says, sit in a dark room and listen to Robson and Jerome. That's definitely not going to work. Tarquin Bate says, lick a sheep's chin. It's like your medicine man.
Matthew Dootson, who might win, I think, probably has, says, swallow a hamster soaked in lemon drink while it eats your insides and then shove a red-hot needle through your skull. Sure to cure a hangover. Here's Sally with her last piece of snow advice.
Sally's snow advice.
Yes. Finally, remember, snow is very, very dangerous, especially this week, as I, Sally Phillips, have been travelling the country and hiding man traps, holes, and hazardous venom, including spikes of my own frozen wee, in snowdrifts. Leave the snow alone. Do you hear me? Well, there's snow more snow advice this week, and so it's snow long from me, Sally Phillips.
I know one or two things about love. Loving and losing. Loving and keeping. But of course, love is truly unknown.
The last record tonight is by one of our celebrity friends, the other being Annabelle Giles. This is Count Indigo, a man for whom the relationship between the tightness of his trousers and the size of his genitals is clearly somewhat strained, if you've ever seen him dancing. As we...
What do you do to have a good time in this town?
I'm a stranger here, open to your best suggestion. What do you say when a stranger loves you more than your wife? Don't say it couldn't happen, you wouldn't be right. And what's more, I can't even remember her name. Taking the words out of my mouth to get me to agree with what you say. What do you say when a stranger loves you more than your wife? It's not in yellow pages or citizens' advice. And what's more, I don't even remember her name. She's my unknown love. I don't even remember her name. She's my unknown love. My unknown love. So unfamiliar, so true.
Sounds a bit like Roy Bremner's impression of John Majors, that
slightly,
singing
isn't it?
In quite a show.
You've been listening to Lee and Herring on 1FM with Richard Herring, Stuart Lee, Peter, Sally Phillips from Six Pairs of Pants, Kevin Eldon, Peter Serafinovich, and of course Rod Hull. Thanks, Rod.
Yeah, my pleasure!
The show was produced by Kathy Smith and Matthew Dootson. Look out for a prize in the post.
Well done.
What do you say when a stranger loves you more than the world? Could it happen? Would it be right? I can't even remember her name. My unknown love. I don't even remember her name. My unknown love. I don't know.
It's been quite a show. Who's this coming in through that studio?
Hello, it's me, Fred Talbot. I got away from Atlantis by leaping 18 inches onto a passing map of Australia, and now I'm going to set up a brand new map in the Thames and work from there.
You can't do that, Fred, because it's a shipping lane. You can't work in the Thames. Have you met Rod Hull, Fred?
Hello, Rod Hull.
Hello!
And Rod, have you met Hunter? I don't know if you met him.
No, I haven't. No, hello, Hunter.
And have you met Kevin Eldon, any of you?
Hello. Yeah, they've all met.
Thanks for listening.
Stop. Goodbye.
Bye. Hello, everyone. I hope you like the things we're going to say.
Yeah, we are Lee and Herring here on 1FM with 1 hour of chat. We've got some great music and some rubbish music as well.
Lee and Herring, better than Bruno Brooks, not as good as John Peel.
This download is brought to you by www.bestoffan.net.